trying to think of like some sort of Christmas like song, like that's like Pretty Little Liars related. I guess that's a tall ask.
No, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, could I write a parody? And I didn't, of course, but I was like, yeah, I could write a parody of 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah. On the first book of Christmas, Sarah Shepherd gave to me.
My A!
Yeah. The stupidest fucking Pretty Little Liars book that we've read so far. Not actually. I think, so, okay, anyway, this is Girls Like Us, everybody. We're, you know, dangerously kind of honing in on the Christmas holiday, and we are bringing back Pretty Little Liars because, as promised, we're doing the Pretty Little Secrets book, which is set around the holidays. It should have a festive name. Like, that's my first issue with this book. It's called Pretty Little Secrets, but it's a Christmas book. So it's like, call it like Pretty Little Gifts.
Pretty Little Jesus.
You know?
Pretty Little Presents.
Yeah, like, I was so annoyed with, like, they're like, and like there's a lot of fucking with the form on this book, which I did not appreciate, which we can get into. But first off, I feel the need to kind of just like rail against like a cultural phenomenon right now, mm-hmm. which is, have you seen the new Spider-Man movie?
It's out already?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, no. I watched the trailer, and it looks a little darker than the other two, which immediately makes me go, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's dark for precisely, like, 15 minutes out of 2.5 hours. Like, there's, like, a part where you're like, oh, no. But, like, I just have to say, like, what... Why are, like, all of these big event movies, like, dominated by... men, you know what I mean? It's like the whole thing is like in order to be like a big box office movie, it seems like it has to be like for boys. And all I'm saying is like, guys, you can have fun at other movies that don't involve like, and obviously this is a spoiler alert, but like everybody knew this, like that don't involve all three Spider-Men like becoming one. You know what
fucking,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, you don't have, like, it doesn't have to be this whole thing of, like, oh my god, like, we went to the movie theater, which, like, I really didn't want to go to the movie theater, but Nick had bought the tickets, like, a week in advance, and so I was like, you know what, I'll go to the fucking movie theater. I was strapped up, and by strapped up, I mean wearing two masks and wrapped in, like, a scarf and, like, had a big coat on and was like, if anybody touches me, I will go insane. But, like, everybody, like, the Spider-Man come on screen and everybody just goes, whoa! And it's like, this is the Spider-Man movie. You know Spider-Man was going to come on screen. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like a boy, it's a boy culture thing. And like, that's the thing. It's like,
yeah.
Like, I like Spider-Man, but I like Spider-Man.
Who doesn't? It's fun.
Right? I like it when he's like doing something in high school. Like, And I liked Into the Spider-Verse. Did it seem like they were trying to just replicate the success of Into the Spider-Verse?
No, it was like there were some. I thought the movie was really fun. Like I didn't not like it. I just don't like that. Like it's like the one avenue where you see men being publicly excited. Like I'm like, why don't we like when I'm in the Princess Diana movie and I start clapping when like the girls like almost kiss, like that mm-hmm. should be like we don't need to be bringing that same energy to Spider-Man unless we're gonna do it for like every movie. Like right. I just don't get the whole thing of like all of a sudden men are like a random person you've never seen before comes on screen and they're all like, whoa, we know who that is because it's like some sort of Marvel Easter egg, and I'm like, let me enjoy the movie like normal.
Yeah, Stan Lee's reanimated corpse.
Yeah, literally, but it's like...
comes in, yeah.
The whole thing, like, just, I, like, it's like, come on, like, you guys are so easy to please. But there is a really funny scene, and once again, this is, I just don't feel bad about giving spoilers for this movie, because it's like...
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to hear anything about this movie, like, this is nothing plot heavy, but my favorite part mm-hmm. of the movie was Andrew Garfield Spider-Man cracks... Tobey Maguire Spider-Man's back.
Does he sing, this is the life, bo 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 bo. This is
oh my
life.
God, the worst TikTok sound. People literally being like, I live in Muncie, Indiana. Me and my friends are crazy. Here's the sound.
I'm just like Jonathan Larson.
Right, which seek treatment then, because he had an undiagnosed disease that left his bitch ass dead. like when like Andrew Garfield like picks up Tobey Maguire and shakes him and cracks his back, and I was like, mm-hmm. this is for the girls. Like we love sort of like girls cracking each other's back. Chiropractic
moment.
Yeah. Like it was hot too. Yeah. Like it was, cause it was kind of like, he like had to kind of like hug him and like shake him. And then they were like, they like hugged afterwards. And I was like, yeah, that's for the girls. But the rest of it, I was like, I could have lived without.
Yeah.
And Tom Holland, like, don't put him next to Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, because you know what? Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are hot. And Tom Holland is like,
but he's just, the thing that I learned about Tom Holland that was deeply upsetting to me is that he is British. And like, yeah, that like so kind weird. Of like took, but isn't Andrew Garfield British too?
Yeah, but that's different.
Oh, get these Brits out of
Andrew
our
Garfield's
movies.
Allowed to be British.
Did you watch Tick, Tick, Boom?
No, that's the kind of movie that I could never convince Nick to watch under any circumstance. So I might actually watch it tonight because he's not here right now. I love Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, no, and he was really good. He was really good in Eyes of Tammy Faye Baker too. He was Jim Baker. He like Jonathan Larson, like, and I like Rent a lot. I love it, but like there's a reason that the lyrics to this that were in this show Tick Tick Boom were that this was not a popular show, because the right. music and lyrics are really quite bad. And I feel like just do Rent then.
That's
no offense,
like
Jonathan,
my...
but like, I'm like, come on, dude.
Well, the whole point of it is like, isn't it like the whole point is like, this is music he was writing like when people were like, you're bad, give up.
Yeah. And I mean, and that was true of this particular piece, is that it was bad. It's like a lot of songs about him being like,
right.
Like, oh my God, I'm 30. I haven't done anything yet. But it's just like too cheeky. And it's like the parts of Rent that I don't like.
Yeah, which are like...
which honestly is a lot of Rent. And I like many songs in Rent, but there's also a fair bit that I don't care for or like.
Rent kind of like Mandela effects, where it's like so many people have told you that Rent is good, and like you listen to the songs that are good, like on mm-hmm. your iPod, and then like you watch it and you're like, wait, this is actually deeply embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like there's also something about Rent that is like way too like, we are so crazy and in your face. And it's like, dude, calm down. Pay your damn
rent. I know.
Rent.
Vanessa Hudgens was in Tick, Tick, Boom, but she was like a seventh, like she had like two lines. It was very odd to me because I'm like, girl, you have that Netflix,
right?
You have Netflix's neck in your hands with Princess Switch. Like, at least negotiate right. for a little bit of a higher role. Yeah, Rent is very like, it is very in your face. And then I think the older you get, the less it's like, I don't know, La Vie Boheme. Hey, I'm about the age as the people in Rent. That doesn't sound like the life for me. The ideal's great, but oof.
Yeah, right. There's nothing fun about like the ultimate fallacy of Rent is like trying to convince you it's cool and fun to go to a restaurant with more than three other people. Like, think about how much of a nightmare it is. Like when they all go to a restaurant with 20 people, first of all, those waiters are right to be like, get out of the restaurant. And also like, the amount of anxiety I have even going to like a restaurant with people other than Nick, like mm-hmm. of being like, what if we have to wait for a table? Like, this is all like, I think partially like post COVID too, which is like, or like, you know, during COVID, post COVID ever happening. Like, what if we have to wait for a table? Like, who's going to pay the bill? And like, are we going to Venmo? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to like all put our cards down? Like, it's like all of these things. I'm like, Rent, like, girl, those 20 people at the table, like, I absolutely, get me out of there. That's hell. I'm at home. Like, I'm Benny being like, sell your apartment to me. And like, we can build like a cool AI center.
Mm-hmm. And you know that the restaurant closes at 11 and you know, they're rolling it at 10:59.
Right. It's like the theater kids at Denny's and in a very
that literally
sense.
Dude, that was what I thinking. I was like, the last time I went to a restaurant with 20 people, it was like after a high school show and it was at an IHOP.
Yeah, right. And it was fucking miserable for everybody except right. you guys at that table.
Well, no, I would say it was miserable for me as well. I mean, no one wins in that situation.
Right, exactly.
It's not like you get like fast service when you have 20 people with you. It's like, it's disappointing for almost everyone involved.
Also, I like, this is like kind of fucked up, but I feel like Jonathan Larson really bastardized this idea of like Bohemia, because it's like, girl, you live in New York. Bohemia is another place.
I think it's like, I don't know. It, I also have to say that in terms of dealing with the AIDS crisis, Tick, Tick, Boom versus Rent, Rent did it much better. You know, it's just like there was, this movie did not need to be made.
And also, like, when I, whenever I see, like, anything involving Lin-Manuel Miranda, I just can't, it's like, there's, like, a mental block. Like, I can't engage in, like, a deep and legitimate way. Speaking of people that everybody hates, the Pretty Little Liars. This is, like, we really, if you thought that some of the repetitive behavior from these girls was upsetting in the main series, it's even more so upsetting in the spinoff, this spinoff, because it's not even shrouded in any, like, spark of originalism. Like, you would think writing a Christmas book would be like, oh, this is fun. We can put these characters in weird situations outside of, like, their normal day-to-day lives in which they'll do different things. No, it's, like, the same fucking arc, except the one saving grace is that we finally get, like, Emily and, like, this, like very, like, I guess overtly queer moment because she plays a mall Santa. Like, that was exciting for me. Emily cross-dressing as Santa.
The other thing that I was like, oh, okay, that we got, like, a little bit of clarity of was Arya getting married, because that had been mentioned in one book and we were like, what? Like, what the hell? So we get a whole storyline about that. And then I guess we also get, like, remember at the very end when Allie's hiding out at, like, her grandma's house in Florida. Like, we get clarity on that as well, because that's revealed. But I mean, like, it, so it was a little more, like, well constructed in terms of, like, some because this was book, it came between, like, books 10 and 11 in the series, so it was kind of right before
it comes between books 4 and books 5. But it was published between books 10 and 11, but it technically is book 4.5.
It occurs right after
the death of Mona.
Okay, well, that's confusing. Number one, first issue, confusing.
Yeah. So, like, it's the, but I, so you said that you think it's structured well. I disagree, because I really didn't like, because, like, for some reason, like, Sarah Shepherd.
Well,
I didn't
say it's structured well.
Okay.
I don't think it's structured well, but I do think that, like, and I guess this makes more sense if she's going back and writing it. It's less impressive, but I thought that she had some good ideas of planting seeds of things that we would, that would get revealed later.
Sure.
In the universe.
I just have to say, usually these books are written alternating chapters between the different characters. This book was like all of Hannah's story, then all of, I think, Emily's story, then all of Arya's story, then all of Spencer's story. That was so boring to me. Like, truly, like, I cannot spend a whole quarter of a book nonstop with Hannah. I can't.
No. And it was upsetting. I mean, and that's, when we say that they're dealing with the same shit, it's like, I did think that Emily's story was cute and kind of fit her well and gave her some character development. And it was a little more interesting than what we're seeing in some of her other storylines in the series. But Hannah's was all about her working out and feeling fat. Arya's was about her making a rash impulse decision with a guy she's barely known. And Spencer's was about her and Melissa competing for a guy. That's all the same thing. And also, none of them were particularly, like, Christmas or holiday-y. Like, Hannah's, we get some nice moments because she's Jewish. So we do get some nice, like, Hanukkah moments. And then her step family is celebrating Christmas. So we get some scenery there. And then Emily, we get some Christmas stuff because she's obviously working at the mall as a mall Santa. But Arya's family celebrates winter solstice.
That was cool.
And good for them. But that really doesn't play into it at all. The holidays, that this event that happens with Arya could have happened at any point. And then with Spencer, it's like around New Year's, but again, it could have happened at any point in time.
Yeah, I will say that I was kind of frustrated because this book, like in the Hannah section, they like give a lot of space to like Hannah being really, really into her Jewish faith and heritage. Like,
yeah.
Being Jewish was really important to Hannah. These different, like, holiday traditions surrounding Hanukkah were really important to Hannah. Hannah really loved being Jewish. She felt very kind of like, you know, it felt like mm-hmm. something that, like, really gave her a lot of meaning. Then why have we never heard about Hannah being Jewish before?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I was, like, it's obviously a stupid question.
Yeah. Well, because we don't see... I don't know, like, how much do they talk about, other than Emily's parents, do any of the liars talk about tradition or, like, religious tradition at all?
I mean, Emily's
the biggest one.
They talk about there's a lot of talk about, like, family tradition and, like, family yeah. cultures between the different girls. And so if Hannah was as you know, like, I don't want to say devoutly, because they don't talk about it a lot in a sense of religiosity, more in a sense of culture, but if Hannah was yeah. as... you know, committed and as empowered in being Jewish as this book wants us to believe she is, then there would be lots of other, that would imply lots of other things, especially because, like, as any, like, person with any experience with Judaism, even if they themselves are not Jewish, will tell you, Hanukkah is, like, that holiday means barely anything to most Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Like, other Jewish holidays take so much more importance over Hanukkah. So it would be like her Judaism coming out at Hanukkah, like, doesn't make a lot of sense. But once again, I am asking too much of this book, so I could stop.
Yeah. I also think that, like, it, like, both with Hannah and Arya, I was, like, missed opportunities in the rest of the series, because Arya is, like, they're just, like, celebrating all this, like, pagan stuff, basically. But there yeah. was a lot of interesting, like, well, first of all, yeah, you say with, like Judaism, like, there's a lot of different, like, holidays. It's like, we could have seen those somewhere in the rest of the series. And then with Arya, yeah. it's like, they're talking a lot about, like, essentially, like, warding evil spirits off. And I'm like, obviously this yeah. hasn't worked for you, Arya, because A's still out right. there. But I was like, that would yeah. be more, because, like, at one point, like, Byron's like, Arya, make sure to slather your door with honey so the spirits don't get in for this year.
It was
and
butter.
It's like, butter, yeah.
Yeah,
somehow
which is
worse.
Even more exciting. Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah, all of a sudden it's like this family has these really, like, these pagan beliefs that seem to, at least from a tradition standpoint, be really important to them. But we've never heard about them in all of the other, like, 15 books that we read. So all of a sudden it feels really jarring.
Right, yeah. And Arya being like, oh, like, my family doesn't celebrate Christmas. And then, like, but not too, like, in, like, Hannah's section, it was like, Arya made us all these, you know, mohair bras for Christmas. And it's like, obviously right. you can, like, I guess, celebrate something that your family doesn't, but it is like, okay, you're giving us a lot of lore by virtue of this being a holiday book. You are giving us a lot of lore about these families that would have been so much more interesting if we had gotten to see these things expanded across the entire series instead of being, like, just kind of chunked into one book.
Yeah. Like, I don't know,
How does faith
Hannah,
play into them dealing with A? You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, that would be really interesting. Yeah.
Really interesting. Like, have Hannah host a, like a Shabbat dinner that goes super wrong because, like, A, like, cuts the power or, like, turns the power on or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's
right,
all of
yeah.
these different things that, like, there's these different settings that these cultures that they're trying to bring up in this book, like, kind of bring to mind that all could be very exciting, fun things that people actually do in real life, like, at which to set dramatic A events.
Right.
And it also
instead
just
of,
feels
like literally
tokenism.
Being like, what if it happened at the mall? What if it happened
yeah.
at
right.
a party? Like, our three, like, settings.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
And don't worry, a lot of this book takes place at the mall.
Oh, yeah. Did you think it wasn't going to be at the mall? Well, you don't know Miss SS at all, do you?
Yeah.
Miss Santa Shepherd.
Oh, fuck
like
you.
Well, this book does start off with a quote. This is how this book starts out. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Santa Claus is coming to town. A very fun way to kick off this book. And so Hannah is
just disappointed because I'm just thinking about, like, there could have been way more, like comparisons drawn between, like, Santa and A, like, outside of, like, yeah. There could have been so much fun in this book that just did not happen.
Exactly. And, like, also, like, none of the girls, like, of course we get the thing where it's, like, I saw a, or, like, Hannah saw a flash of blonde hair and, like, a wilting giggle. Like, and it's, like, okay, but, like, have, like, A, like, put, like, a knife in their stocking. I don't know. Like, have A terrorize them in their own homes. Right. Though this book is in between when Mona is A and then when Allie Courtney Robb is A. Yeah.
Yeah. So it starts with Hannah. Hannah's whole plot line is that she, the book kicks off when Hannah's father and her new stepmother and stepsister, Kate, are moving into the house Hannah previously shared with her mother because her mother is moving to Singapore. This all happened mm-hmm. a long time ago in the holiday, but this is where we're situated. A long time ago in the timeline, but this is where we're situated for this book. So the whole thing is like we know this plot, like the back of our hands now. Hannah's dad is being like, Hannah, you and Kate should bond and like hang out. And Hannah's like, tries to do it. Kate shuts her down. And so then Hannah like is feeling kind of lost because Lucas, her boyfriend, is going to the Yucatan Peninsula with some family friends. And one of the family friends is super hot. And all they do is talk about she's how not much even, of a slut this girl is.
Yeah, she doesn't even sound super hot. I mean, they make it sound like this girl is essentially like greasy from self-tanner. But Hannah is still... I don't know. Hannah's whole thing is that she... is like, she's like, well, I never thought I'd have to worry about being jealous with Lucas because he's such a fucking loser. Like, what girl would ever want him?
She was like, that's the perk of dating a total fucking uggo.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's going out of town. I don't know. They're, Brooke is this girl's name and she keeps calling Luke Lukey. And she's like, we're going to do jello shots in Yucatan. Yeah, and then Hannah goes to the gym. Yeah, Hannah goes to the gym to unhealthily, you know, de-stress. And because she's like, oh, I feel fat, basically. Because this girl had given her size 6 jeans. And, like, she, like, goes to a store and the girl is like, oh, here's your size 6 jeans. And Hannah's like, what? And it's like, size 6 is fine for some girls. But for Hannah, like, and it's like, I get that we are understanding that we as adult readers are understanding that Hannah's body weight is unhealthy, but this was the thing that I also hated in the click. It's like, don't name numbers.
Yeah.
I have to, like, that's like really not good or healthy. And I think it's bonkers also, to expect that every teen girl be a size 2. Like, can you, if you were presented with a person who is a size 2 and a person who's a size 6, like, I don't think I could tell the difference. You know what I mean? Like, it's, that's not like even.
I absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's not important.
I absolutely could
and,
not. Like, I...
Yeah.
No. It absolutely is not.
Yeah, and they also fail to realize, like, whenever it's like, Hannah couldn't fit into her size, too, it's like, okay, well, what... Number one, what brand was it? What cut was it? Like, where did... Right. Like, there are so many factors that goes into pant sizes. I mean, that's not even a clear indicator of her weight to me, to be honest.
Right. Give me more details. Like, is this a curvy cut? Is this like a low rise situation? Are these like those jeans from Madewell that like no matter what you do to them, they won't stretch? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So she like, she gets really into it. She like goes to the gym and joins this like holiday exercise boot camp because like one of the guys who works at the gym like suggests it to her. And because somebody has suggested it to her, she assumes that this is like a VIP workout boot camp club. And so she's like, oh my God, this is so exciting. So she shows up the next day to start the boot camp and it's just a bunch of like normal looking people. But of course, Hannah's like, these are all a bunch of uggos. Like,
I'm going to read this section. So Vince is the guy.
Oh my God, it's horrible.
Yeah, Vince is the guy who like gets her. He's like a personal trainer at the gym. So Hannah says, I don't think that class is right for me. The retreat? Why? Was he high? First of all, it was a boot camp, not a fitness retreat. Okay, don't know the difference between those two things. Second, how could Vince think Hannah? Yeah. Second, how could Vince think Hannah belonged in a class like that? Had he noticed on her on the elliptical today and pegged her as someone out of shape, someone ordinary, someone who sales girls snickered at, fathers rejected, and best friends despised? Because it's a class full of fat people, Hannah finally blurted. Like, she's, like, standing, like, 2 inches outside of the door where all these other, like, class participants are. Like, I would be, also, it's, like, 5 a.m. It's, like, 5 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. I would be, like, I don't care if you think I'm fat. Like, you are holding this up. Like, I want to shower now. I don't want to be here.
Yeah. I know. I can't imagine, like... If I was, like, I think that I genuinely would be, like, pushed to violence if I was in a workout class and all of a sudden someone
like
came in.
Like, a 17-year-old girl? Like, if a 17-year-old girl came in and was, like, hi, fatty, like, what are you doing here? I'd be like, I'm paid $400 for this. Right? Like, you get out of here. Like,
stop disturbing my inner peace.
Right.
I will lob there. Like, I have a rule where it's just like, there is no conflict in the morning and you're not allowed to do, like, you're not allowed to, like, take on projects in the morning. It's like, leave me alone. Don't talk to me about, like, any complaints or issues until, like, 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. If this girl, like, came in and said this and I was in the room, like, literally probably feeling so insane because, like, you know, like, when you go to an early morning workout class, like, the feeling of, like, before it starts, you being like, there's no way I'm going to get through this. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Like, she comes in when you're in that headspace. I am lobbing a 25-pound dumbbell at her head and just taking on whatever consequences come my way.
Right. Yeah. It's rude, and it's also like, yeah, like, what did you... I mean, we know this about Hannah, that she is so suggestible, including in terms of her own, like, self-worth and appearance.
Yeah.
But there's this other girl there named Dinah, who's, like, a rockabilly girl. I feel like that's a new trope for these books. We haven't seen a rockabilly girl yet.
She's, like, the kind of girl who works at, like a high-end cupcake shop.
Yeah, she's, like, wearing, like, a poodle skirt. And she
Which
is
like,
much like
you should bully this girl.
Right. Yeah. Maybe she's just coming from her early morning grease costume fitting. She is also described almost the same as Brooke, which is like there's just like keywords that Sarah Shepard uses to mean slutty. Like, and it's like always like very grossly describing these girls. Like, being like, you know, she had her wet red lipstick slathered on unflatteringly. The only good part about her was her tits. Like, where it's like, I don't want to read this at all.
Like, we're still talking about a child, even though it's like a fake child. Yeah. It's like...
Yeah. Though that being said, I would get really annoyed if I was in an early morning Christmas fitness class. And a girl came in and was in a full face of makeup and, like, had, like, a beehive hairdo in. I would, again, be like, oh, my God, and you're 17 years old. I'm like, I have to do a job after this, so.
Right.
Girl, you go to school or whatever,
bounce
but, like,
to the left.
Let me be. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the politics of an early morning workout class are so specific. Like, over the summer, because I didn't have, like, a membership to, like, the gym at school yet, which is, you know, obviously free. I did like a month and a half long membership at like the yoga studio in my neighborhood. And like I was going like really early in the mornings and there would always be this fucking guy there who would be doing inversions like as we waited for class to start. So like I'd walk into the room at like 7 a.m. and he'd be in a headstand. And like, of course, because I had morning brain, like over like 5 days, I fantasized about just like going up to him and being like, hey, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why are you always like harshing my vibe being in a full ass headstand whenever I walk into the room at like 6 o'clock in the morning? Like, you are a fucking disgrace.
How did you deal with that with, because you used to always do the spin class before school in high school, right?
Yeah, I would often go to spin classes before school and high school. It was excellent because this is what you do. Any high schoolers out there, take heed. You go to spin class from like, I think the spin class was from 6 to 7. I would shower at the spin class because they always had like luxury products in the bathroom. So I would like wash my whole self there. And then I would immediately drive to the McDonald's right by my school and get a smoothie and an Egg McMuffin before going to class. And it was like the best I have ever felt in my entire life.
If you get a McDonald's breakfast Sorry, let me swallow my thing of oyster crackers. One second.
Please. Franny has a literal mouthful of oyster crackers.
I have recently gotten back in to a McDonald's breakfast. And
oh, it's incredible.
Because it's really good. And I got so late. Like, you know, when you do a Starbucks breakfast sandwich and it's like, this in theory is healthier, but it just makes you feel gross. At McDonald's, you got to get those two little breakfast burritos. Those have a lot of protein in them. They're not too like greasy or anything. I mean, they're still greasy, but they taste really good. Like, and that and a McDonald's coffee. Yeah. Oh, that's a delicious breakfast. The hash browns, even though I love them and I think they taste delicious, I have the issue where I eat them too fast and then they will not go like down my throat. So I have to cut myself off from a hash brown.
I think I have like kind of come to like an independent conclusion that I am very, very sensitive to like oil-based fats. So like when I eat something like the McDonald's hash browns, like that's a day ruiner. Like I cannot take that in because like there's no protein attached to that. Like I just will feel so like immediately I'll feel really sick.
Yeah.
But the Egg McMuffin is like God's gift to humanity. Also, the beat I've been on recently, the Impossible Breakfast Sandwich from Starbucks. It is so good.
That's really good. I get that one a lot.
The bread that they have on that. Oh my God. It is so good. Like in my like deep, dark period in the last like month of like studying and then taking finals, I have like eaten probably 16 of those things. There was a day I ate one for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to do it.
So
Hannah is at this, you know, thing, and she has a boyfriend, but she's like, I want the trainer, Vince to notice me. And Dinah is also trying to get Vince to notice her. Again, he's probably like 35 and these girls are like, 17. Yeah. There is a big, theme in this book of like men over 30 having fleeting relationships with girls under 18. Which is cool.
Legal, for sure. Legal, good, all the things.
So Hannah goes to the mall because she learns that Vince is super Christian and that he likes to Christmas carol. So she's like, I'm Jewish, but I'm going to learn Christmas carols and I'm going to show up at his, little Christmas carol event and win him over. And she learns that Dinah is also there and then they fight over this dress, but then what makes them bond is they go and they like fight their way into a dressing room and they hear like fucking sounds and they look into a little dressing room and Kate, Hannah's firsty stepsister, is in there making out with the mall Santa, who we then learn is like, oh, he's like 35 and he's gross and he had hit on Hannah earlier. And Hannah's like, ha ha ha, I can use this as blackmail.
She's like, you're disgusting.
Yeah. Her and Dinah try to, like, they bond, Hannah thinks, and they're like, oh, like, Vince is such a loser. And part of what makes him a loser is this is a really big theme in this book, for whatever reason, something called Amino Spa, which is, like, vitamin water multi-level marketing scheme.
And yeah, it's like a powder that you put in your water that's an MLM.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting, but they bring it up in every single story. And I'm like, I don't care this much about this in-universe product that you created. Yeah.
I don't think it's cool that Amino Spa comes up in every single story.
Yeah, like, that's what I had to, like, remind myself of, is I'm like, oh, this is one book. It's not like we're seeing, like, sprinkles of, like, other books, like, thrown in, really. It's like, there's, like, little connections between all the four girls' stories, but it's not like a sliding doors thing. It's just like, and then I saw someone drinking Amino Spa. Vince is trying to get...
congratulations.
Yeah. Vince is trying to get both of these girl, like, Hannah and Dinah to sell... Amino Spa
to be, but like then, under him in the pyramid.
Yeah. Which I thought that this story would have been much better if, of course, what happens is Dinah is actually like, psych, I didn't actually want to be your friend. I just wanted to get Vince to myself. And it's like that always happens in these books. And I really wish for once that these girls would have actually been friends. And then maybe Vince would have tried to do something shady and then they could get revenge on him somehow. Like that would have been much better. But it's not, and it's just sad for Hannah, and Hannah doesn't have any friends.
Yeah, and so this book ends with Kate, like, taking pictures of Hannah in a workout class, which is, like, okay. Like,
I know, she's like,
a workout class.
Yeah, she's like, people, I'm going to use this for blackmail. It's like, I don't, how would that count? Also, it's like, I guess maybe Hannah doesn't want anyone to know that she works out, but it's like, that's nothing. That, right. Yeah, that's not blackmail.
Yeah, so they, like, Hannah then, like, Kate's like, I have these pictures of you working out. I'm going to blackmail you with them. Hannah's like, oh, that's funny because I have these pictures of you making out with gross-ass Santa, and I'm going to blackmail you with them. So neither girl ends up blackmailing
each other. I have these photos of
you
getting assaulted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By a 35-year-old.
Yeah.
And so that's how Hannah's storyline ends, just kind of, like, reaching an equilibrium with Kate, and like her and her dad kind of have a moment of bonding. And then I believe the next story is Emily's, where this is like a pretty wild conceit, and that's what I appreciate, because like,
yeah, I like Emily's was the best.
Should have a wild conceit.
Yeah.
Like, which is that Emily's mom like said that the church could use her like heirloom ceramic baby Jesus to be the baby
outside.
Jesus. And they're like, yeah.
And they're outside manger.
Like, right. Like, why? I have no idea. But, like, she's like, this is, like, my most precious possession, and I'm going to let the church use it for their nativity scene. And then, of course, it immediately gets stolen, as anything you leave outside in, like, a suburban area will, presumably by teenagers. And so she's like, oh, like, for some reason, they think it was, like, these people who call themselves the Merry Elves because they all work at the mall as elves. And so she tells Emily, she's like, I need you to go undercover and play Santa at the mall because they need a new one because the old one was, like, assaulting teens.
Right.
Like, the old one was, like, behaving lecherously. So she's like, you need to go undercover at the mall and play Santa so that you can find out, like, where my baby Jesus is and, like, catch these, like, Merry Elves chicks in the act.
Because Emily's mom, like, Emily's dad, like, has, like, a quote-unquote, like, lower Christmas bonus than he did the year before. And so Emily's mom is like, I need to sell this Jesus to get gifts. One of these gifts, including Emily gets a DVD box set of The L Word, which I did think was very funny.
But she gets that from one of her siblings. Like, in the main series, they say that she gets it from one of her siblings.
She does. It's from her three siblings.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. But the whole thing, I don't know. This whole storyline is, like, she starts working at the mall. She's working as Santa. Like, kids sit on her lap, and, like, she has to, like, deepen
her
voice
to
pretend to be Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, these girls are just, like, cool elf girls.
Right.
Like, they're
cigs at
chilling.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, take breaks that are too long.
Yeah. I went on, in Chicago, I went on the Santa train. And there were some ladies dressed as elves on it, like, handing out candy canes. And their dresses were really cute. And I got really resentful because I was like, I would have never played an elf. I've never been short enough to play an elf ever in my life.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like heightist, if you think about it, because like elves don't have to be short.
Yeah,
like,
we've
the
seen
only
elf.
Requisite for like being an elf is like being weird looking, and you certainly fit that.
Yeah, I'm here to represent what elves actually look like. Oh my god.
Which is fucking weird.
Yeah, elves are just freaking weird bitches. Also, I'm like, these girls, it's like, why didn't they get fired from their job? Because, like, their boss, who is also
it's not clear,
hates them, and they, like, show up late. Yeah. I mean, they are bad at their jobs, which is fine. Like, they're high school girls, like, being elves, but they also seem to be the only elves on staff. And then they never get, like, fired or anything, or even, like, reprimanded in any real way.
But I think the whole thing is that, like, because at the beginning, Emily's mom is like, they're having a really hard time keeping the Santa Land at the mall staffed. So I think it's kind of like a COVID restaurant staffing situation where these girls kind of like run the place essentially because like they can't fire them. They're like necessary employees to the operation of this business, and nobody else wants to be an elf.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one else wants to be Santa.
Fine, keep smoking on your break. Right. Because who would? That's like, no. It's so gross. It's so gross thinking about like a bunch of kids climbing on you.
Emily does do something fun, which is she like, she's trying to earn these girls' trust. And one of the girls is like, oh, I don't even want to work today. So what Emily does is she pretends she found a bed bug in her Santa beard. And I was like, I love this. I think this is great for Emily. And then the other thing is that there probably was one in there and she just happened not to find it. But I think she did the whole mall and that specific Santa suit a service by having it cleaned.
Yeah, I know. Good for her. But yeah, so she like kind of gains these girls' trust and starts hanging out with them. And then essentially is like going to run undercover on like one of their like nighttime hangs where they're mm-hmm. presumably like going to steal stuff. And then like her mom is like, okay, like we'll track you when mm-hmm. you're with these girls. And then like to like see where you end up. And then like we'll come like essentially bust them.
And like so, the church like funded iPhone of Emily's, like the church funded to buy Emily an iPhone so that she could spy on these girls. Like like parishioner money like went to good. This.
Yeah, good. That's where church money should go to like black ops.
Yeah.
So the girls get busted and they're all basically like, Emily, fuck you. Like you're a snitch. And then Emily like bails them out of jail and they learn the true meaning of Christmas. Because Emily bailed them out of jail.
Well, and how she bails them out of jail is in another one of their like Christmas nighttime prank drives, they come across a house with a stripper in it. Like it's all these middle-aged women, like there's this guy stripping, and Emily takes pictures of him, and then later she realizes that it's a cop. And this guy had like brought his daughter to like the Santa Village multiple times, and the daughter had like an itemized list of like everything she wanted. And then Emily blackmails him with this, but it's kind of like, I think that's a very risky move to try to blackmail someone by being like, I know you're a stripper, because it's like, obviously a lot of people in this town know he's a stripper. Wouldn't he be like, okay, I'm going to arrest you now. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like he's like, he goes to people's houses and is a stripper. Like, it's not like he like drives two towns away and like dances one night a week. It's like, no, it's like, he clearly has something of a business going.
Right, exactly. But it works, so.
Yeah. And the girls, so they're like, oh, Emily, we like you again.
Yeah, and it's a cute one where, like, I liked that they were actually, like, you know, they weren't best friends at the end or anything, but there was a friendship that developed, and that's what made this one, like, the best story in the bunch, for sure.
Oh, and what we didn't mention is that Cassie, one of the main girls, was, like, friends with Allie when Allie was alive. Like, one of the main elves was a girl that was, like, one of the older girls that Allie was, like, in a group of friends with.
Yeah, on the field hockey team.
Which ultimately means nothing, because everything in these books is, like, a red herring. It's just like a way of
everyone
like
knew Allie.
Yeah, like Allie was like the most popular bitch in this town. You're gonna tell me there are people who don't know who Allie is?
Yeah, come on.
I think not.
So Arya's story.
So then we get to the Arya solstice story. Yeah, so Arya, her dad, and her brother Mike are going to a ski resort that seems not to be too far away, called like Bear Claw Mountain or something. And Arya's new stepmommy, who you guys will remember at this point in the timeline, is pregnant, Meredith, mm-hmm. who is the student that her father cheated on her mother with. This woman is pregnant, and she was supposed to go to her family's home for Christmas, but like I think mm-hmm. it was something like her flight got canceled, so she wasn't able to go. So she's tagging along with them, and Arya's not happy about it. And literally what happens is they get to the ski resort, they're planning all their solstice activities, and like 10 minutes later, Arya's like, I have to go home. And so she gets her ass on a bus and goes home. Like, I'm like, why did we even spend time at the ski resort then?
Exactly. And I was excited. Like, I was excited for a storyline at the ski resort. And,
yeah, me okay, too.
No offense, there's a pregnant bitch involved. Why? They should have timed it so that Meredith had her baby on Christmas.
Oh my God, it would have been so fun.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, like Meredith has the baby. Like Meredith's on a ski lift and her water breaks and she's like, Mamma mia, I gotta get down the mountain. And like a dog has to come like drag her on a sled as she's like giving birth to the baby. Yeah, there's so many fun things that could have happened. Yeah. So she goes home to stay at her mother's house. That's when we get Byron telling her to like put butter on the door so the evil spirits don't come in. And she like reconnects with her.
Well, he just shows up.
Yeah, but I mean, like, and it's kind of like he's like, I'm on the run, which is like,
yeah,
that's kind of like what
he's on the run because he destroyed. He like was protesting the destruction of a baby puffin sanctuary. He's like a real eco guy, and part of this too that I was like, I think they retconned this. Back is didn't Arya lose her virginity to this guy?
Yes.
They don't talk about that at all.
Yeah, like they're kind of like, oh my god, he's kind of random. And it's like in the books before this, she's been like, obviously I slept with Halbjorn in Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of retconned. And like, so Halbjorn, the whole thing is that he's like, if I go back to Iceland, they're gonna arrest me. But my visa in America, which, like, if you're in America on the run, why do you have a visa? Like, they can just come find you anyway. Like, that's why you get a visa. But mm-hmm. I won't, you know, imbue logic into this book. But Halbjorn is like, I can only stay here for another, like, I think it was, like, 5 days. And then my visa is going to be up and I have to go back to Iceland where, like, I will be, you know, brought to justice.
Right. Yeah, and so Arya's like,
yeah.
She's like, well, why don't we just get married then? And not even like a green card marriage, like of them being like, you know, this is just fun. It's like, oh no, we're just going to actually get married and we are going to be husband and wife after this. Yeah. And they do.
Yeah, they go to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
This is where I did actually have a song to play, to sing.
Good.
Well, they flew in Halbjorn from Iceland. Because he protested the destruction of the Puffin Sanctuary. He said, Arya, put your makeup on, fix your hair up pretty. We're doing a green card marriage in Atlantic City. A green card marriage in Atlantic City. A green card marriage in Atlantic City. Well, the two 17-year-olds got married in Atlantic City, but ultimately it was annulled because they forged their parents' signature. They got married in Atlantic City. They got married in Atlantic City. Okay, that's it. That's all I have.
They went to see a magician show that was a ripoff of Siegfried and Roy. There are two Black Panthers in the magician show, and Halbjorn didn't like that. He said to Arya, let's release those panthers. Let them run loose. Arya said in no, Atlantic but Halbjorn did it. Halbjorn did it anyway. Loose panthers in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City. Two loose panthers in Atlantic City. Yeah, that it was a really stupid storyline. It reminded me exactly of like the guy who ends up being Gayloff. It reminds me of the Gayloff plot line where it's like a guy, Arya's with a guy, he does something illegal, and then she's like, we're not together anymore.
And I do have to say, it's like, this is a crazy thing that happened. Like, first of all, her getting married. That's crazy. And then literally two panthers like that her ex-boyfriend, ex-husband released are just terrorizing the city. Like it is a true like Harambe situation times 10,000.
They harambe'd Atlantic City.
It's not even like Harambe where it's just joke. Like. Well, these panthers are, like, actively trying to maul children, basically.
Harambe was trying to protect that kid. Yeah. You can't convince me otherwise.
No, he was. He was. I feel bad about Harambe,
dude.
I know.
It's so sad.
It's really fucked up.
Okay. Yeah, and then she comes back to Rosewood, where like nobody knows that she went through this whole marriage thing, and they're kind of just like Arya, like happy holidays, and then it's like her. I think that's it.
Yeah,
And
but she didn't slather the butter on her door, so A's going to get her. That's her consequence.
Yeah, dude, A swooped in because A didn't slip slide on that butter when he tried to get in, or she tried to get in. Let's talk about Spencer, because I am reaching the end of my rope with this stupid fucking
Spencer
book.
Was so boring. It was that she... Yeah. You don't even get anything fun about, like, it's post-Christmas and then it goes into New Year's. We don't get anything fun about New Year's at all. It's just she meets this tennis player who is likes both her and Melissa and also has a girlfriend. And then by the end, we learn that he is married and he's over 30 because he's in playing in the tennis masters competition. And he's like hitting on both of them and kissing both Spencer and Melissa. What click storyline did this remind you of?
The Dylan one.
Right. It's almost exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it really is, like, almost exactly the same thing. Sarah Shepard and Lacey are eating each other's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so boring. It's so boring. Like, they literally were, like, they picked the most, like, sort of static period of time, which is the time between Christmas and New Year's. And then they were, like, we're going to do a bunch of boring shit. Like, and just, it's all going to be all about tennis. It's going to be the exact fucking storyline that we do over and over again, where Melissa's, like, mm-hmm. hanging with a dude and Spencer's like, just kidding, I'm gonna like suck his dick, and that's this whole storyline. And then the only thing that we get, like, the only reason I think they're actually in Florida is because then we get some stuff of like Jessica De Laurentiis is there, and they're like, everybody's acting so weird.
Yeah, they are at Nana Hastings' house though, and here's how they get back at, yeah, this was kind of funny to me. So they're like exploring their grandma's house, and one of the things is like she has like a pull-out drawer full of like 15 toothbrushes that all have different initials on them. And also she has a prescription for Viagra. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Can you, as a partner, can you get prescription? I feel like a doctor would not let you do that.
I think for the purposes of this book, yes. I mean, right. I know that Viagra is given pretty freely because my dad told me, like, every time he goes to the doctor's office, they try to be like, take Viagra, take Viagra. And he's like, I don't want it. Like, stop trying to push Viagra on me. Like, basically, his doctor, like, will tell him that, like, every man your age is on Viagra. Everyone is. Like, so I think that, like, if you could get anything prescribed in kind of a shady way, it's Viagra.
Well, you can just go on Blue Chew.
That's True Chew.
Or Men's or whatever.
Yeah. Hims.
I love Hims. Yeah, I love. And I think like this is something that, well, we did get a and I just never replied to it, but we did get someone from Manscaped interested in advertising.
Yeah.
And it's like whatever, but I think it's so funny when podcasts that I know and love have to read Blue Chew ads, because it just makes me,
it's horrible.
I feel like as like a girl podcast, like we don't have any we've had to like read like acne ads, but right now we're very much like with Frolic, like it's all books, which makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But I think once you get into like whatever this vast, like, you know, big podcast space is, it's like you kind of have to take what you get.
Right.
Blue Chew's paying you with blue bucks, you know?
Those blue bucks, baby. Blue bucks for blue balls.
Absolutely. The way that the Viagra comes in though is that they like lace his Amino Spa energy drink with Viagra and make him get a boner during a big tennis competition, which like,
yeah, it's like fine, cool, funny,
I got a little
LOL, haha.
I got kind of nervous though because I was like, Viagra seems like also something that could probably, like, you should not exercise while using. I was like, what if this dude, like, they like leave, but I'm like, what if this dude just like has a heart attack after?
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
That's entirely possible. This whole thing, by the time I got to the Spencer storyline, I was mentally on a different level, especially when they were like, okay, girl, for the next like 40 pages, you have to pretend like you care about tennis. And I was like, whoa, not gonna be able to do that. This Colin guy seems like a real fucking turd, but so does every single person in this book. And that's really all I have to say.
And Colin has a daughter, we learn. He has like a toddler. Yeah.
Oh, he absolutely does. Oh, he absolutely. And he's like fucking around with a 17-year-old. It's really dark. Not Christmas spirit at all.
No. By the Spencer one, it's like, it was clear that like, that was like the last one to kind of like check off the list. And you could tell that the writing quality like decreased significantly because every chapter would start with the next morning, Spencer woke up and did blah, blah, blah. Did you notice that? It was like every chapter started the exact same way.
Yeah, it was really formulaic. That's a good point. I did notice it, but I didn't exactly clock it. It's like they really were like trying to slide it in under the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, quick, what was Spencer doing? Like, yes, and yes, and.
Yeah. Okay. If you could, before we wrap up, like if you could pitch holiday stories for these girls, what would they be?
So I will give Sarah Shepherd props in the kind of the, like the interestingness of being like Arya's family has like these pagan traditions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it was a little bit better supported, like Hannah's family has all of these Jewish traditions. So I would like to
part of what we didn't talk about with Arya's family is one of their pagan traditions is going on a run naked in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say about that.
I can just think of a lot of things that could go wrong with that. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. That's called streaking in most like criminal municipalities. Yeah, so I would say, like, give us, like, some weird, give us, like focus Arya's whole storyline on some sort of, like, weird pagan tradition. Like, maybe they all go on, like, a solstice retreat where, mm-hmm. like, she has, like, a sexy hookup there. Like, keep a hookup in it because that's, mm-hmm. like, how these books operate. She has a sexy hookup there, but then, like, maybe she thinks that she did the solstice rituals wrong and, like, brought a curse down on everyone. And then like she has to be like, I have to like by like a certain hour on the day like of the solstice, I have to break this curse. Like something like mm-hmm. that. Like a little bit of mysticism, a little bit of like, you know, higher stakes than like I married a guy and then he set a bunch of panthers loose in Atlantic City.
Yeah. And for Hannah, you could do Hannah, like the 8 days of Hanukkah and have like a like do something every day. With that and like A's like threatening to like kill someone on the final day or something. You could also do that with 12 days of Christmas, I guess, but
yeah, but
you know, add a little more stakes to it.
8 days of Hanukkah. Yeah. Like do something like that. Like that would be a lot of fun. Or like for Spencer, like dig deeper into the mystery of why Jessica De Laurentiis is there because that ends up being the big reveal. So pump some more into that. Maybe they're all at a Christmas party and like Jessica De Laurentiis, like all of a sudden, like Spencer's following her around and she disappears and she's like, where did she go? Like things like that. Mm-hmm. And then the Emily storyline, I think you can keep.
Yeah, that was a cute one. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
Hers like was like fair to her, like, her family experience and everything. So yeah, the Emily one, I was disappointed that they weren't all like this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really about it. I mean, this is like, I just like give us like a, don't like, I feel like the author half committed to a holiday book here mm-hmm. when if you're going to do it, you got to commit the whole way.
Yeah. I mean, half of it is not a holiday book. Because Hannah and Emily are the only ones who get, like, actual holiday-adjacent storylines. And then Spencer's is, like, barely holiday at all. And Arya's very quickly becomes not a holiday, so.
Right. It's a holiday for, like, three pages. Then and then she's like, she decided not to follow the holiday.
Yeah.
She decided to take the Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, lame.
Lame.
Yeah, so thank you guys very much for listening to this episode. I hope your holidays are more fun and actually holiday-oriented than the girls in Pretty Little Liars. Remember to check us out on social media. We're at Like Us. We're at Like Us. Holy shit. We're at Girls Like Us Show on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us and many other insanely great fun podcasts if you're like on a break from school or an extended break from work for the holidays. Listen to some other Frolic Media podcasts at frolic.media/podcasts, and you can check out our Patreon and send us a little holiday gift at patreon.com/girlslikeusshow.
We covered the first episode of It's Just Like That, or Sophie and Nick did. It was a really fun episode. And then we're going to cover the Kyle Richards holiday movie.
Yeah, it's going to be fan-freaking-tastic. All right, everybody. Have a great holiday week. Be safe. Do only what you feel comfortable doing when it comes to, like, virus-related activities. Wash your damn hands. And ho, ho, ho.
Bye.
Merry Gloomis. Bye.